At the Supreme Court today, the justices seemed inclined to uphold a federal law that bans gun possession for anyone covered by a domestic violence court order. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
From the get-go today, the justices were wrestling with the consequences of their sweeping decision last year, declaring that in order for a gun law to be constitutional, it has to be analogous to a law that existed at the nation's founding in the late 1700s. The question today was, how precise does that analog have to be? Solicitor General Elizabeth Prelogar, representing the government, contended that under the court's most recent decisions, Congress may still disarm those who are not law-abiding, responsible citizens. She said that there's no historical evidence that the Second Amendment right to bear arms was originally understood to prevent legislatures from disarming dangerous individuals. But as several justices noted, people do all kinds of irresponsible things, driving over the speed limit, putting the trash out on the wrong day, but nobody would suggest that they lose their constitutional rights for that. Pressed by Chief Justice Roberts, Prelogar agreed that the word responsible is something of a placeholder for dangerousness. Justice Kavanaugh.
No daylight at all, then, between not responsible and dangerous.
Yes, our understanding of what history and tradition reflect is those whose possession of firearms presents an unusual danger beyond the ordinary citizen.
Most of the court's conservatives seem to accept that proposition, with only Justices Alito and Thomas remaining skeptical. Thomas was the author of last year's broad decision, a decision so sweeping and unspecific that the lower courts have interpreted it in dramatically different ways as they forage for historical analogs. The court's liberals remained largely silent during the first half of the argument, except for Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, who clearly would have liked to revisit the court's 2022 decision.
What's the point of going to the founding era?
Challenging the federal law in this case is defendant Zaki Rahimi. A Texas judge granted a domestic violence court order that stripped Rahimi of his license to carry a gun after he assaulted his girlfriend in a parking lot and then fired a gun at a bystander who saw the assault. After he continued firing guns repeatedly in public, police searched his residence, finding multiple guns, magazines, and ammunition. He was sentenced to 6 years for violating the federal law banning guns for those under domestic violence court orders, but the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, citing the Supreme Court's 2022 gun decision, ruled that the federal law deprived Rahimi of his Second Amendment right to bear arms. Today, Rahimi's lawyer, federal public defender Matthew Wright, struggled to defend that decision, telling the justices there is no law from the founding era that is analogous to this one.
There's no ban. There's no history of bans. They don't exist.
Justice Kagan asked if the presence of a similar ban at the time of the founding is essential after the court's decision last year in the Bruin case.
If we don't find that similar ban, we say that the government has no right to do anything?
That's largely what Bruin says.
Lawyer Wright also maintained that those accused of domestic violence have few protections in court prior to being slapped with a ban on guns. Justice Barrett wasn't buying that.
She did submit a sworn affidavit giving quite a lot of detail about the various threats, right? So it's not like he just showed up and the judge said, credible finding of violence.
Chief Justice Roberts was even more direct.
You don't have any doubt that your client's a dangerous person, do you?
Your Honor, I would want to know what dangerous person means.
Well, it means someone who's shooting, at people. That's a good start.
So, that's fair.
Justice Kagan followed up.
Do you think that the Congress can disarm people who are mentally ill, who have been committed to mental institutions?
So I think maybe is the answer to this.
I'll tell you the honest truth, Mr. Wright. I feel like you're running away from your argument. Because the implications of your argument are just so untenable that you have to say, no, that's not really my argument.
Indeed, the court's decision in the Rahimi case will have ripple effects. It may make lower courts more hesitant to strike down laws aimed at preventing dangerous people from having guns. But as several justices observed today, this is the easy case. The harder ones lie ahead, among them federal and state laws that bar convicted felons, including those convicted of nonviolent crimes, from having guns. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.